Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the old saying to lose your mind and come to your senses, and how shames and illusions can be taken as sound truths. Listen as we discuss the emphasis on human feelings in today's world may be a huge barrier to human development. In this show, we will explain some differences between mortal thought and divine idea. Lose your senses and come to divine mind. We apprehend life and divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. A quote by Mary Baker Eddy from the Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 167, line 6. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine idea. Swami, so I see today's title of the show is Lost My Mind and Came to My Senses. Can you maybe tell us how you came up with that title?
Well, I remember back in the 70s, that was a big phrase that we worked with, to lose your mind and come to your senses. Now, after a lot of the work that we've been doing with divine science, you start to see that coming out of the modes of mortal thinking may be exactly what they were referring to, lose your mind. But you don't want to come off and stop at the senses, because that was something else that we discovered. And in fact, it almost seems like it's a backwards progression, because when we're talking losing our minds and coming to our senses, a lot of us interpreted that to be more feeling about things, more, in a lot of ways, reactive, emotional to situations, circumstances, and it became much more of a barrier than it did some sort of advancement in human development.
So why do you think that that was a barrier? Was it that we weren't losing the right mind? Because we've been talking about, you know, the modes of mortal thought and things like that. Would that be what you're talking about?
Yeah, either that or it doesn't go far enough. A lot of what we're learning is that there are three modes of mortal thought: instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. Oftentimes is the feeling level of human mortal thought. And so the next octave to that was human intelligence, where we were using our mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition. But both of these are modes of thought that are dependent upon information coming from the five senses. So we're lost in duality. We're stuck with a belief in two powers. And then, of course, the next octave of that was what we called the higher mind, which was Sagittarius. But that was world thought. And it was world thought about what's here, which is also dualistic. And so we have to come out of these modes of mortal thought. But coming to your senses must imply, or in order for it to work successfully, you must come to spiritual sense, not the human mortal feeling state.
So when we were talking about the senses and came to my senses, as in the title, we've also been talking about not relying on our senses now, like not having this attachment to our senses.
Right. And like we said in the opening, we apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense. And then, of course, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says here. She says, and correct it. I think it's really important to understand her message that we don't understand ourselves spiritually if we aren't demonstrating divine law with some sort of degree of scientific certainty.
So with that in mind, let's go back to talking about the emphasis on human feelings in today's world may be a huge barrier to this human development that you had mentioned earlier. If this is the barrier, then nobody's going to be able to demonstrate.
Well, exactly. And that's one of the things that we're noticing is that demonstration of divine science is few and far between. It's not the mainstream norm. And so you look at where we are collectively as a people and the direction that we're going, and you can kind of see that there's a good reason why we rely on the testimony of our senses, why we have such a strong belief in matter. And even the message that is coming from our spiritual communities, the institutions that have taken over our religions really don't get the message of Scripture. And so as a result, we're lost in mortal thought. And even what we call spiritual is just human conjecture about the word. And it doesn't really have the same association that when you have the revelation that you are the expression of an indestructible principle, and then you're able to demonstrate this with scientific certainty.
So again, so why are feelings detrimental? Why is it they are the barrier to human development?
Well, because you're still working with mortal mind. You still have a belief in two powers. You're still under the law of karma. You're in the cycle of death and rebirth. And I really like the way Mary Baker Eddy explains that, because she really lays it out that it's a false sense of existence. So we're in the error, and you can't correct error with error. And in order for us to really find solution to this cycle of death and rebirth, in Kriya Yoga, the fifth stage in yoga is pratyahara, which is sense withdrawal. And to me, that's in compliance with exactly what Mary Baker Eddy is saying, that we live above corporeal sense. And I think it's important to be able to make a distinction between living above corporeal sense as opposed to living below corporeal sense.
So it's not a good idea for us to get in touch with our feelings or to express them? I mean, should we have more of a status quo kind of a way about ourselves?
Well, in order to work with this as a divine science, you must work with a principle. You have to have a foundation, and the foundation is found in divine mind. And divine mind is very different than mortal mind, because mortal mind works in the rational. It works in duality. It works with contrast. But divine mind works in the absolute, that in order for us to activate this principle We must know it exists, even though it doesn't report in our five senses, which means we have to live above corporeal sense. But at the same time, you must have awareness for the spiritual truth of being. That divine mind is only found in spiritual identity. We find spiritual identity when we move from the level of consciousness that is seeing the many into the level of consciousness which is the unified state, where we return to the one consciousness, where everything is under the government of this one absolute divine law of harmony.
So I'd like to ask you a question about a phrase in the opening where it says, shams and delusions can be taken as sound truths. And you mentioned truth just a few seconds ago. So how can that be?
Well, ignorance. I mean, there is so much out there today with the celebrity pseudo-spiritualism. People think that being indulgent in the human experience is being spiritual. And without a litmus test, without a way of really proving what it is that you believe in, it goes undetected. Being spiritual today is just a category that you dispatch whatever it is that you're doing into, which means it no longer requires any further explanation. But when you are starting to understand this as a divine science, as a demonstrable principle, you realize that it's very intricate. And that if you don't get it right, then it doesn't work the way it's intended to work. And so, say, for example, if we are still at the level of mortal thought and we're working with belief, you can get a certain degree of change that you affect with human thought and belief, but it has no comparison to what it is that you're capable of doing when you rise above mortal thought and you let divine mind express itself through you. But in order to do that, you need to assume spiritual identity. You have to move from the belief that you are a separate mortal creature into the understanding that you are the expression of this indestructible principle.
So if somebody said to you, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, what comes to your mind?
Most of the time, I usually question it. I don't really know. I mean, so many people say that, and being spiritual or being religious, you find neither one of them are able to demonstrate the presence of divine law. And so what does it matter what you're calling what it is that you're doing? If it's not delivering the results that Scripture is promising us, it really should be questioned. You really want to challenge what it is that you're doing.
How would we know if we are spiritual?
Yeah, the first thing that I like to know is that spirit testifies with deeds, not words. Like Mary Baker Eddy says, if you can't heal, you do not understand yourself spiritually. So that puts healing on the table. That if you're able to see things or persons, places, things in the truth of being, that it must outpicture divine qualities, harmony, peace, love, gentleness, kindness. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're dealing with lack, limitation, suffering, sickness, disease, and you're still calling yourself spiritual, to me, that's call for a change, And I love what is written in the Bible, repent, which really means to think differently. We really want to get accustomed to challenging what it is that we're doing until we can prove that this divine omnipresence is here and your awareness of it will reveal it and externalize as these divine qualities.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, earlier in the show, we had talked about that Mary Baker Eddy quote in the summary, and I'll repeat it now again. We apprehend life and divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. And again, that was from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Can we talk a bit more about that, maybe dig a little deeper?
Yeah. Again, I think Mary Baker Eddy's work is one of the few that I've come across that really puts it on the table. She gives you tangible clues, things to work with, so that you don't fall into the trap of thinking you're spiritual and not being under the government of divine law, which is typically what happens. And there are so many of us who think we're worshiping God, and we think that we have this intimate relationship with this divine omnipresence, and yet so many times we find ourselves that we're not under the protection of it. That's what she's saying, that you must live above corporeal sense and correct it, that your ability to think with divine mind should have power. And if it doesn't, then what I always do is I go back to the drawing board.
Well, when you say living above corporeal sense and correct it, what does the correcting of it look like?
Well, again, I like the word healing. I like being able to have dominion is another word that they use, that you're able to have fidelity to this divine creation, that you're living out from a completely different set of rules when you are no longer under the government of this world and you now walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you can't do that as a human. So if you're still working with mortal mind and belief, and you think that you're spiritual, here's your opportunity to test it. But if you can assume spiritual identity, or like what we talk about in Kriya Yoga, Pratyahara, the fifth stage, sense withdrawal, that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy is talking about, to live above corporeal sense. And then, of course, to correct it, to prove it. My awareness of this truth of being will have a profound effect on the experience because I'm thinking with the causal spiritual dimension. I'm thinking with divine consciousness, which holds the template for perfect creation.
If we do that, when we do that, would that be like the next stage in the development?
Yeah, and Kriya Yoga, we use each of the stages, the eight essential stages of yoga, kind of like as stepping stones. And we should graduate from sense to soul, from tangible to intangible, letting go of material moorings and lifting consciousness into spiritual truth. As awareness shifts from material to mental to spiritual, the fog lifts and the truth is revealed. Because the light of truth dispels the darkness of error. And what we find is that truth is the only power in this universe. And I like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health on page 144.11. The more material a belief, the more obstinately tenacious its error. The stronger are the manifestations of the corporeal senses, the weaker the indications of soul. The more we believe in matter, the more we believe in mortal mind, then the less we manifest the testimony of spirit, the truth of our being. But the reverse is true, that the stronger the indications of the soul, the more spiritual identity we have, the weaker are the manifestations of the corporeal senses. So we're moving from the mortal into the immortal, from the rational into the absolute.
So it sounds like it really comes down to is, and as you said before, this belief in something other than God, material belief, also the strength of the material belief. So it sounds like we have to break down that barrier before we can have this other kind of realization.
Right. And the first thing that you start to understand is that the entire human experience is built on belief. And that spirit is the only self-existent true power in this universe. And that's one of the reasons why we used to talk about the 100 monkey theory, that thoughts are measured in phase and amplitude, and that thoughts that are in phase exponentially increase the amplitude. So you get this surge of the appearance of power based on belief. If something reached what was called critical mass, the 100 monkey theory, that once you reach 100 monkeys, then that impacts the collective consciousness, and it has an even stronger influence on individuals that are individuated from mortal mind. But it has no effect whatsoever on those that are individuated from divine mind. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says in her teachings, that one with God is a majority, that you no longer need the numbers because you're working with the absolute. And when you're working with the truth, which is backed by the principle of divine law, then that's all you need.
Now, we know that we have more than one belief in this material world, but in your opinion, is there a particular belief that you think that we should try to shed as soon as possible?
Well, I think the belief in matter, to think that what is reporting in your five senses is real, is where it starts to break down. That if you can actually shift your awareness and you can start to develop spiritual sense, and you can sense the presence of this invisible, intangible, changeless state of being, eternal life, absolute love, absolute harmony, and you have fidelity to it, that would shift your beliefs from material to spiritual. And as that ratio begins to change, that you move from material beliefs to spiritual beliefs, you'll move from belief to faith to eventually understanding. And as you are advancing in this spiritual practice, you'll begin to demonstrate this law, that this divine omnipresence, this one power in this universe, and when you find that place where your thought is the same as that divine idea, then you have dominion. But if you're still working with human will and mortal mind, the very best that you can do is change finite bad into finite good. And you're still in the cycle of death and rebirth. You're still under the law of karma. But you're not under the protection of divine law.
Well, earlier you had mentioned pratyahara in Kriya Yoga, and we know now that that means a sense withdrawal. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, now, pratyahara is the fifth stage of yoga. And that's an important thing to understand, that there's preparatory work. Even though Mary Baker Eddy gives you the command to live above corporeal sense and correct it, what I found that was very helpful was that in Kriya Yoga, we have stepping stones, that you start with yama, control, self-mastery, non-injury, non-lying, non-stealing, non-greed, non-sensuality. That is one of the most misunderstood terms in yoga, in my opinion, because it really means brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman, that we really must shift our identity to spiritual. And of course, when we do that, you rise above corporeal sense. When all of a sudden you realize that you are spirit, you no longer have the needs that come with material identity, which means now you allay the fear. The fear, which is basically a defense mechanism for this false sense of existence, this life that has an expiration date and is not backed by divine law. And so as we're moving through yama, niyama, asana, working with a practice that you're working the relationship between what's reporting in your five senses, how you're thinking, and the causal spiritual body, the truth of your being, the divine mind, and working that relationship until you can start to demonstrate your fidelity to divine consciousness. And then pranayama, control of prana, the life force, and taking the steps that the relationship between how you're breathing and how you're thinking, that by controlling your breathing, you can control your rate of thought. But we still have to have this brahmacharya, this union with the divine, in order to activate divine mind in our experience.
Well, it is that time. We do have to start closing down the show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner. When that comes with Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. Also, the products tab, if you click that, click on online classes, and then from there, you'll see a bunch of classes that Swami has available for you online to further advance your spiritual developments. So Swami, with that, is there any other final thoughts you have about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to lose their senses and come to divine mind. And with that, experience the benefits that come with the divine idea. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.